Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Christy Dignam, and I had hoped to have him on the show this morning, but we will try and get him before the end of the show. Christy admitted that he took the death of his beloved dog, Jack, worse than his father's death, saying, "I was absolutely devastated." Now, the Aslan singer lost his father, Christy Sr., in May last year after a battle with COVID-19. And the Irish rocker suffered another heartbreaking loss shortly after when his beloved Yorkshire Terrier, Jack, died last summer. And he opened up about the pain of his canine companion of 12 years, according to one of the newspapers this morning. He said, "He was my wingman. He came everywhere with me, absolutely everywhere. So I had him on Sunday and he was grand, jumping around like a pup. I went for a walk with him and then Sunday night he got a little bit ill. So on Monday, I rang the vet around 8 o'clock and he said, 'Go on Skype and show me his gums and his teeth and his eyes and all that.' I went on, and if you haven't had a dog, you don't understand. The first dog I had, I came home for my honeymoon and my sister was after getting a stray. You know, those black and white collie sheepdogs. And I had her, Sally was her name, and she was 14 years of age when she died. And it took me 18 years to get Jack, just to get over. And then I had him 12 years. Anybody who knows me knows that he goes everywhere with me." Now, Chrissy, who's 61 himself, by the way, said it was heartbreaking. He said it was actually worse than the loss of me da. Now, in a discussion we had in the office today, everybody had a view on this line that Christy has put out, that his dog dying was worse, or had a worse effect on him, certainly, than a family member, his father. And nobody is suggesting, by the way, Christy didn't love his father. But people get so wrapped up in their pets that it can be worse than a family member. And one of my colleagues in work, who has a dog, thought it was the craziest comment he'd ever heard. And then he said, "You can't compare or suggest that the life of an animal is more important than the life of a family member." Whereas others in the office said, "Absolutely." And I actually said to one of the office staff today, "Honestly, you have two choices. Burglar comes into your house, right?" And he said, "Either the boyfriend or the dog gets it. He has one bullet." And they said, "I'm the boyfriend. Give it to him. Keep the dog." I swear to God. Now, I don't know if that was whether that was a flippant off the cuff answer, but certainly there are people out there who would prefer the burglar to shoot the husband or the wife rather than shoot the dog. That, you have no idea. People go barmy over their dogs and cats too, if you're a cat person, I suppose. More so, it seems to be dogs. But I want to know if you think that's an illogical thing to say, that the life of your pet or the death of your pet can be more devastating than the death of a family member. Is that illogical? Or can you actually understand that? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. And it's quite a simple question. Is it illogical to say that your dog's life is worth more than a family member's life? In your eyes, that you would grieve more? 087-188-0008. WhatsApp or text if you can. I want to go to Maura. Maura, you're in Ireland's Classic
Hi,
Kids.
Hi, Niall.
Hi, Maura.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too bad. Do you miss me?
I do. The station's all changed around now.
Ah, yeah, well, that's neither here nor there. I miss me too.
Do you? Yeah, yeah. But you had a bloody good weekend anyway.
I did indeed. The cheek of me. How dare me take
the
time off?
You.
How dare me, huh? Yeah.
Gimpy.
Maura, I mean, people care about their pets. There's no doubt about it.
I love my mind to the death. Oh my God, I'd do anything for them.
Would you? I mean, anything?
Yeah.
Like you'd jump off a building for him?
If I thought I'd save his life, yeah.
Oh God, Maura. Maura, I have a dog. Millie is her name, little Maltese.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she's, it doesn't matter what you say to her, how you treat her. And I don't ever treat her bad. She'll always come in smiling, barking, happy. She doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
It's like she never has a bad day.
They don't judge you. They don't answer back.
No.
You see, in my situation is I don't have kids.
Okay.
So there's a slight difference there now.
Right, okay. So you've been adopting dogs all your life.
I have, actually, yeah.
How many dogs have you had?
Oh, God, all in all. Well, we had a dog growing up, and he lived till he was 21.
Oh, that was a good age for a dog. 15 is the average age, yeah.
I think I've had, all in all, myself, I think I've had about 6.
Yeah. Do you know what I find?
And then I did foster for dog charity as well.
My son does that.
Yeah, you told me that the last time.
Yeah, and he ends up adopting them. But yeah, you know what I find? When you go back years ago, I remember our first dog was Terry, was his name. And he was a rotten old mutt of a terrier, an old crossbreed mongrel, as they'd call them, right? And he went out every morning onto the road and off he went on his travels. Yeah. And he might come back at 6 o'clock for his dinner, right? And then he'd sleep out the back garden. He'd come into the house every now and again. But he lived till he was 19 or 20. And then one day he went out and never came back.
Well, they go off to die.
Do you think so?
They do. Oh, no, they do. They do. Yeah. They don't like you seeing them dying. They go off.
And see, that's the point I was making was he was fed bones and scraps from the butchers and all
yeah,
that. And he lived to a good old age.
Very same as our own family dog. And he was 21 and he had to be put asleep.
Yeah.
Like his
eventually,
organs were just gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then one of my dogs lived till 19.
Yeah.
One of my own personal dogs. And like that, he was a mongrel. Like, I hate these, you know, fancy names on crossbreeds.
Yeah, well, that's like, nowadays there's no such thing as a mongrel anymore.
Yeah.
It's a shit, a labradoodle or something like that. Or
a labradoodle. Yeah. An Irish doodle.
I mean, let's be clear about it. They're mongrels. That's what they are.
Mongrels, yeah,
but they're crossbreeds. Yeah.
If they're a mixture of more than one breed, they're a mongrel, in my mind, you know.
Well, that's the word we used to use years ago. Nowadays, dogs get offended, you know.
Dogs don't get offended. People get offended. People are looking for more money, Niall. That's what it is.
Yeah. You pay big money for like a labradoodle or something like that.
Oh, tell me about it.
So, I'm trying to think what Millie is actually, because she's a cross between a Maltese and a Shih Tzu. I think she's a Malteshoe or a Shih Tzu.
Or a Shitty Malteshoe. One of the other.
I'm not too sure. Okay, so if one of your dogs died, like, would you have grieved more than, say, a father or a mother or a brother or a sister?
Well, a father and a mother, I think, yes, because you live your life expecting your parents to go before you.
But you expect your dog to go before you too.
Yeah, but you don't think about that.
Ah, you do.
You think about poor Millie.
She's 12.
You really don't. You don't think about that when you're growing up. You do know you will outlive your parents. If life goes according to plan, sometimes it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Children die.
Nobody wants to outlive their children. No.
No, of course not.
No.
And I think you're in your mind. You're preparing yourself the best part of your life for your parents
to die.
Leaving you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I think it all goes on in the head where you get a little puppy dog and you just, oh God, you know. And you treat them as a member of the family. As I say, I don't have kids. Now, I can't answer from somebody's point of view who does have kids. But
you accept that they have short lives.
They do have short lives, yeah, but you want to put everything into that to make that short life the best ever.
And what is it about dogs in particular? I know people have like cats as well, but because cats are not as loyal as dogs.
Well,
I mean, some cats are. Some cats are. Ruth is shouting me here because she has cats. But some cats
Number one, you don't really own a cat.
No, a cat owns you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A cat just expects you. Where
they say a cat will eat you if you die. A dog won't.
So, yeah.
Yeah, if you die, a cat will actually eat you.
The dogs are very faithful.
Yeah, the cats are selfish.
You know, they always have a smile. They greet you every time you come in the door, even if you've gone for 5 minutes. You know, it's like, oh, you're back
with. Yeah, they have no sense of time.
You know,
I do this today. When I come in the door, right, there's a bowl on the counter and there's treats in it. Like they're kibbles. They're just the dried kibbles. We give her the wet.
Yeah.
Now she's on it because she has pancreatitis for the last 6 years. She's on a special food, right?
So
she's grand. No, she's fine. She was in the vet for nearly 2 weeks and she nearly died about 6 years ago. So from that point on, we were told we have to give her this particular food. Otherwise, she'll die. So she's not allowed scraps off tables or anything like that. But anyway, she's grand. She's healthy as fizz as a fiddle. But when I come in the door, right, she barks her brains off at me until I give her 5 treats, right? And it has to be about 4 or 5. And I put them on the floor and she'll eat them and she's delighted and she walks off, right? And then if I walk out the room and walk back in again,
another 5 treats.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not you. She's looking for all the pain. It's for 5 treats.
I might have left for a day. I might have left for 2 minutes. It doesn't matter. They have no concept of time.
Yeah, but if you go back in your happily married life, right, who greeted you first when you came in from work in the evening?
The dog.
There you go. Okay.
But I used to always say to the dog, every time the doorbell rang, the dog would go belting out to the hall, barking at the door, right? And I used to go and I'd say, Millie, it's not for you. It's never going to be for you.
You don't own this house. You own nothing.
But look, I would be devastated, of course, if she died or if anything happened to her. And look, she's 12 now. She's getting on. She's got a few more years left in her.
You haven't got much left. Ah, much stop longer left.
Anyways, but, yeah, no. But still, I wouldn't think of it as bad as the death of my father or mother or brother or...
But you're preparing yourself for the parting of your parents. I'm not talking about a sibling like a brother or a sister. But I think from the day you're born, you're actually preparing yourself mentally.
But
that your parents.
Well, why aren't you preparing yourself mentally for the death of your dog? I accept Millie is going to die in a few years.
You don't
think about it.
I don't know. You know, it's a hard one to call.
Okay, well, stay there, Maura, because James, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, James?
He's going to call me an idiot.
He is probably going to call you an idiot, yeah.
James,
how are you today?
I'm very well, although for years now I'm just lost now in the crazinesses about dogs.
Dogs?
Yes. Compared to my day now.
What was your... Oh, your day was like my day, where they just wandered the streets.
Yes, and also they were never in the house now.
No, and they did white poo all over the place.
Yeah, they were... My father always had dogs when we were young. I'm not a particular dog person. I'm more of a cat person now.
And were you?
Oh, yeah, I love
you
cats.
You don't strike me as a cat person,
Oh,
James.
Yes, I love cats. Because they're not needy now. I don't like dogs because they're
too
needy.
Oh, I see. Now you've just dashed all my... I see... Oh, James, I always had a view of you, right? And I've never met you. And I did actually one day predict what you looked like. And I got it fairly right that you were in your three-piece suit and a Tom Al Graying and a bit in your 70s, right? But I also predict you sitting on a sofa with a sheepdog on your lap, of some description.
Christ, no, you don't know me very well, I'm afraid.
Oh, Jesus, no.
I'm not one of those lovely-dovely, touchy, kind of feely people now.
No, right, sorry, James.
I'm an old right-wing conservative. We don't do that kind of thing.
Are you grumpy?
Oh, yeah. I am a grumpy old man.
Oh, are you?
My daughter, what she thinks of me now.
Right, okay.
She calls me a bad, mischievous old man.
Oh, right.
she said, that Niall is taken in by you. I must go on there someday and put him right.
So you're a grumpy old man.
Go back to dogs now.
Yes.
No, we've gone completely crazy now. Completely over the top altogether. I don't know why it happened now. Maybe it's something to do with watching these sitcoms earlier in America. We saw the dogs being brought into the house. But in my day... All over the north side here in Cork, where I lived, all the people kept their dogs outside now.
Yeah, we did. Everybody did. It wasn't just in Cork. It was in Dublin. It was everywhere. Nobody let their dogs in. And sorry, Maura, you let your dog in. When was that? In the 60s?
The dog was always, when I was growing up, the house dog, the home dog.
When? The 70s? Always,
yeah.
Well, that would be more the exception. Maura, that woman's name is it?
Sorry?
What's that lady's name there?
Maura.
Yes. Well, that would have been the exception, Maura, rather than the rule.
Yeah. No, he slept in the kitchen.
Because the people in those days, people could make a fine living out of making kennels now.
That's right.
Nobody
with little roofs, little felt roofs on them. Yeah.
And as I said, my father always had dogs, gun dogs now. Springers, pointers, setters. And from the moment they arrived in the house, they never were in the house, they never saw the inside of the house from the moment they arrived.
Out the back garden.
They were always out in the back garden, in their own kennels, quite warm now, quite happy there. And another thing now, unfortunately, what has happened, and this proliferation now, and unfortunately there was a terrible attack down the
Waterford
Mound.
There was,
you know,
indeed, yes.
You know, with that child.
And our condolences, of course, to the
that
family.
Is why,
absolutely.
That is why those attacks are happening now, because the dogs are in the house.
Well, look, the golden rule, you know, and I want to give that family their privacy,
yes,
but the golden rule is never leave it. You can't, no matter how much you love your dog, how docile your dog is, you never leave a child and a dog in the same place at the same time. I know people do it, but you just, a dog can change like that, and they can turn, and they just, because their only reaction, because they can't speak, and they can't get angry. Their only reaction is to bite sometimes, or to snap.
Well, sure, it only needs a child to sneeze now.
I know. But that happened 2 years ago in America. Do you remember that story that we covered on the show? 2 years ago in America, there was a woman had a baby, and they had a lovely dog, and they had the dog was the pet for years, and they brought the baby home, and the husband and wife, I can almost visualise the scene, were sitting on the bed, doting over the new baby, and the baby was sitting on the bed, and the dog was sitting beside her. And the mother coughed. And when she coughed, the dog got a fright and bit the baby's head.
Yes.
Baby was dead.
See, that's why I
say it's so easy to happen.
Yeah. The dogs will be better outside now.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing for some reason, and this, we're trying to humanise them now. We're turning them into humans. And they're not.
But they are wonderfully loyal.
They're a member of the canine family.
Yeah, but
now.
They're wonderfully loyal little animals.
Oh, yes. But also remember now, one of the reasons I don't like dogs is that I had a lovely cat that used to come to visit me now on a regular basis here over the years. I had cats that I owned and cats that visit me. You have cats that visit you now.
I have two cats, two feral cats who've been in my garden for 8 years.
Yes, well, I had a lovely female cat who used to come to visit me. And one day, one of the children came up around the area a couple of years ago, and they said, Mr. James, that's what they call him, Mr. James, come down quick. Your cat has been found down the green area, and he was shredded now.
By dogs?
By two dogs.
But that's, I know that's just human nature.
Now, the person who did it lives around the corner from me. He's gone out, thank God. But he had two dogs. He used to leave them out on their own now. And they shredded
my
poor gorgeous cat now.
Unfortunately, that's human nature, isn't it? I mean, you know, and I don't know whether it's a kind of stereotypical thing that dogs hate cats. I don't think dogs hate cats. I think it's just if a dog
but if
hasn't
you get a puppy
them,
and a kitten together.
Yeah, they're fine.
That's fine, yeah.
But Niall, they'll also, your little darlings will roam onto farmer's land and all in a pack of ordinary mutts, and they'll rip sheep to pieces now. They'll rip the lambs out of them now.
But they are canines. They're canines.
They're lovely little darlings now.
No, but I mean, we know they're animals. They're canines. We've domesticated them over the years. You know what I mean? It's like taking a serial killer and putting them into a playground to protect him to pretend, hoping he'll behave himself.
But that's what I mean. We cannot be humanising them now. We must recognise they are a different species. And, you know, everyone can do whatever they want. I'm not telling people what to do. But I just think we're gone completely and utterly. I hear this idea, he's one of the children. How could you possibly, Niall, raise a dog up to the level of importance of your daughter or your son?
But Maura.
Yeah.
Can you explain that to James? Now, I know you don't have children, Maura, but I'm sure you've
never. I don't have children. Number one, I'd say no, never leave any dog.
With a child. But no, the point James is making is he can't fathom how people who would have children and would have a dog as well. And I know you don't have children, but still, you give your dog the same level of importance within the family as a child.
Well, you wouldn't. No, absolutely not.
People do.
You wouldn't.
People do.
People do. I think that all started off with these little handbag dogs.
Oh, right.
And, you know, the girls, and it was all fashionable. You know, you can buy the special bag now for the dog in it.
Yeah.
And they wanted to treat them like babies. And then they started having babies. And like a small dog is like a small man, you know, small man syndrome. You know, they'll attack anything.
Small man syndrome.
But Niall,
that exists, Niall.
Oh, I know it does, I know.
I mean, the most crazy thing I've ever heard, Niall, is some people have their dogs have their own social media accounts.
That's right, yeah.
I know, I've seen Facebook pages for dogs. It's a bit ridiculous.
So mind that there's a whole fashion industry around them as well now.
Yeah.
For wearing clothes.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Actually on the Late Late Show.
And what do you think when you see...
They had a kind of a fashion catwalk for dogs.
What do you do when you see people with clothes on their dogs, James?
Are they for the birds? That's like? Beyond my comprehension.
Are they for the birds?
Exactly not.
I think it's okay at Christmas time to put a little rig out when your dog
is
taking a photograph.
What I mean. There you go, James.
No, just take a photograph and then take it off.
What, is it a Santa hat on him?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, James, Christy Dignam said, you know, the death of his father obviously was devastating, right, last year. But the death of his Yorkshire Terrier, Jack, was even worse.
See, when I heard that, and I like Christy Dignam as a singer.
He's a lovely man, yeah.
But that is beyond my comprehension. I mean, I lost my own father, lost my own mother, father, and losing your mother, father, devastating for anybody now. But compared to a dog, it would mean nothing to me, losing a dog now, compared to my brother, my sister, which I've lost most of them now. It just wouldn't be on the same plane now.
Okay, well, stay there a second. Let me go to Carl as well. Carl, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Carl?
I'm your second biggest fan.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I'm my first biggest fan, so you have to be my second. Yeah.
My wife hasn't joined the Niall Boylan Club in spite of the pandemic.
Yeah, I could be the chairman of the Niall Boylan Club, yeah.
No, I just want that gentleman. No, you're either a dog lover or you're not, Niall. I bring them into work with me.
Right. Oh, you bring your dog to work with you?
The two dogs I have. Like, if I'm working in the stockroom here.
I have to go.
Okay, go ahead, Maura. Thanks, Maura. Sorry.
Right, nice to listen to you, Maura.
Yeah, thanks for announcing it as well. Go on.
So there you go. I just ran. rang because I was just listening. You're a dog lover or you're not. You either get it or you don't. You
James
know?
Doesn't get it.
Not at all. I mean, you're wasting your time talking to him for 4 days. I mean, I don't mean that in a rude way. Like,
no, no, I know you don't.
You're into, you know, like somebody, you're into a band like Queen. If you're a Queen fan, you'll go to the end of the earth to watch them, you know.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
but if
blah,
you're
blah.
Not, you couldn't be bothered.
Correct. You know, exactly.
Yeah, I suppose James has got a point. Like, I wouldn't walk across the road, James, to see you too. But there are people that would kill for tickets.
I wouldn't want to. If they were outside in the terrace, I'd shut the window now.
Well, actually, I went to see them when the Dandelion Market existed, which is, Carl, remind me here, the Dandelion Market, would it be 25, 30 years ago?
No,
30
no,
years
no,
ago.
Oh, by the way.
I went to see them. I paid 40 pence to see them. I want me money back.
No, get your vaccination.
I did, yeah.
No, the reason I just must have missed it because I always listen to your programme, but you remember you were saying, I'm sitting myself, Donnelly's blackmail chat.
I know.
I can see the thing coming in, Niall Boylan cancelled that.
Yeah, he's not getting his vaccination.
I've rung you stacks of times about, but
I'm due the second vaccination now, in the next week.
I was at home so much like you, but the only person keeping me sane, like, by the way, I've
lost. Well, I don't know why you listen to me to keep you sane, but getting back to the dogs.
Yeah,
Carl, can you understand what Christy Dignam meant when he said losing his dog Jack was worse than losing his father?
It's very traumatic, very, very traumatic. I've grown up with them, and as I say, I wouldn't leave them out now. They know when I'm coming to work, you know, and I put the sheets all over the car and they climb in. And luckily, where I work, the bloke I work with, you know, he loves animals, so, you know, when he's having his lunch, he has a few treats for them, you know.
Right, okay.
And then I take them for a walk in the evening. And my wife, if she's not working, she's just part-time, so they wouldn't come in with me every day. But
and what do you work at?
I just work in a wholesale company, so they're here in the stock room, you know, they're not in anybody's way or anything.
Right, okay, so they just hang around, yeah.
It's not a plush office. I have a bed. The fellow who I work with, my brother, he bought them a bed, you know. So and they're getting old now, so they just sleep all day.
Will they be entitled to sick pay now when they come around?
but just going back to your point, Noel, it's very traumatic when they.
And how old are your dogs, Carl?
Unfortunately, Noel, they're both old, 14 and 15. And the reason I would have got a little puppy from the Dogs Trust or something. I put my name down because I usually go for rescue dogs. But
yeah, good
to be
man.
Quite honest with you, Noel, I hear it again. I remember one of your listeners saying that one day with this pandemic, she just wants to go away and live on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And I just said to myself, and it's the truth, that Noel, I didn't get a newer dog because I just don't know what the future holds for me at 69 years of age, because I feel so much of my life now.
Talk to James, he's older than you.
Well, I know, but I feel, Noel, we spoke about it before, that this last 2 years, I mean, I don't, is the next 2 years going to be taken away from me as well? I mean, you know.
I know, and you know what? Time is more valuable as you get older, as I'm sure James will testify.
No, just going here, I'm sorry for delaying, you know, but my wife, where she works, after this opening up, all the people in the, and she's an elderly, she deals with a lot of elderly people, and they've all said the same. They never could suffer another lockdown, and they're all very conscious now that 2 or 3 years of their life has been taken away by the government, you know, slowly opening up and, you know, all the restrictions we still have. And you kind of think to yourself, where am I going in the next few years?
Yeah, I understand. I know there's a lot of people out there, particularly those who are elderly, obviously for public health reasons, obviously wanted to isolate themselves. And rightly so, I suppose, particularly at the start of all this.
But
it is burning
now, and a lot of people want to get out there.
They do. I think there's a few trains of thought out there as to what we should be doing right now. But look, I don't want to, because I think it just gets everybody down, so I don't want to really talk about it.
No, that's
fine. But getting back to the dogs, yeah, so James, Carl loves his dogs. He brings them to work, and he can understand what Christy Dignam is talking about because they are members of his family, James.
I know. But now how you can kind of equate the loss of a parent, and especially as far as I remember, I heard him talking about he was a good dad as well now. He was a good dad to his
he
children.
He was, yeah.
And to bring a dog into the same area and to say maybe that it was even more sad. I just can't comprehend that now. I would never have heard that in my day, in my younger days. Dog was gone, that was it. People got over it.
Yeah, to bury him out the back garden. Yeah, no, sorry, Carl.
No, I was just saying to James, I'm not equating it with my dad when he died or my ma. You obviously go through different emotions. But it can be a very traumatic time.
Are they like members of your family?
That's exactly. Look, Noel.
Are they? No, I'm asking a question. Are they like members of your family?
No, big time. Sure, Noel. 20 years ago, Noel, my niece, who was a nurse, gave me a little hitting the cat. You know, little, you know these wild cats.
Yeah, little feral cat, yeah.
Correct, and would I look after it? We had him for 19 years and he died during the pandemic. And to be quite honest, to this day, even though he was just
did he die of the COVID?
I looked after and never gave me any love or affection. I still kind of, you know, when I'm locking up in the morning, kind of, you know, and I see his, I just think he's not with me anymore. And it's a little bit of sadness going
on. Oh, no, I know. I've two cats that I don't even own. They've been in my front garden, and it's the strangest thing. It's like there's an electronic barrier around the garden. I put a little hutch. I bought a rabbit hutch, a two-story rabbit hutch, and I have it under the bushes. And they sleep in that every night.
There you go.
And I feed them three times a day.
You love your animals, Noel. Yeah, it's a great credit to you.
And they're feral cats. They've never been inside the house. And even to this day, even though they're fed every single day by one member of the family, by somebody in the family, they're fed three times a day, right? There's a little bowl outside the front door.
Noise.
Yeah, I still can't touch them. They won't let you rub them. They won't let you near them. They don't meow because they don't know how to because they've never interacted with other cats.
Yeah.
And it's a mother and a daughter.
But no, I could leave you with one sentence. Me ma used to say it. Oh, give me the animals any day of the week. They're far better than humans.
Okay, listen on that note. I'm going to have to take a break. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number is 087-188-0008. We're talking about Christy Dignam and his comments during a podcast. And what he said was basically that it's heartbreaking. It's actually worse than the death of his father. Now, you know, obviously, I don't think he meant it in a literal sense, but obviously the grief that he felt for losing his little Yorkshire Terrier Jack when it died last summer. Obviously, he lost his father in May last year, and he believed that the grief he felt was actually worse than the grief he felt when he lost his father. That doesn't mean he had a bad relationship with his father, by the way, but he just believes that a dog is such a loyal member of the family. It's like losing a child, I suppose. Let me know what you think. Is he mad saying something like that? Or can you actually understand it? James thinks people who think like that are delusional. We're giving dogs too much credit and pets too much credit. Maybe a cat, by the way, as well, if you feel like that about your cats. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Good afternoon, Mary. You're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Mary, now what do you think of the comments by Christy Dignam? A lot of people maybe are taking them a little bit out of context because there's no suggestion he didn't love his father. Of course he loved his father.
No, not in the least. That's why I actually rang up. I mean, I lost my parents as an only child. It was absolutely, utterly devastating. I lost my father suddenly at the age of 59. And
that's very young, wasn't it?
Very young, and he was only sick a day. He wasn't even sick, he just had been to the doctor the day before, but he died of a clot, and my mum was diagnosed within a few days, and she died, and as an only child, that was devastating.
And how old were you at the time, by the way, when they died?
Well, I was early 30s,
okay.
But I had lived with them,
yeah.
And my dogs then became, they always were a central part of our home. But they became even more important. I started taking in strays.
Yeah.
But there recently I lost my pet, Millie.
Oh, same name as my dog, yeah, Millie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, to say that it was just traumatic is an understatement because she wasn't sick. She had been badly treated before I got her.
Okay.
And she wasn't sick at all. And I brought her to the vet because she started to, I thought she was choking. And it turned out she had cancer. And the following day, I had to bring her up to have her put down.
Oh, that must be. I know that feeling. I had to have it done to a dog once. And it's the most horrible feeling because, do you know something that happens when you do that? Even though I'm not suggesting for one minute, Mary, there was any reason why you shouldn't have done that. But the guilt that you feel when you do
you have no. I don't think anybody will ever comprehend the idea of. I tried to run. I thought if I could run away with her, maybe that it would. I wouldn't have to face this.
I know.
And I begged them to operate, and they said, "Well, if we operate, we'll have to put her to sleep on the table," and I didn't want to die on her own. And she, anyway, they took her in for a few minutes. And when she came out and she looked, her eyes stared at me as if, thank God, you're saving me. And they put her to sleep in my arms in the car. And I thought my heart was going to break.
I know.
I will never forget the pain because you invest so much of yourself into an animal.
Mary, you don't have to explain. I was in that exact position that you were in. with a previous dog that we had, and, yeah, and again she had tumours, and she had been over and to a vet, and she just had tumours removed. Yeah. But it got to the point where it was you just couldn't do any more for her. You know, the poor dog couldn't walk, for God's sake.
I can understand, Christy. Absolutely, they're the silent friend. They never ask for anything. All they look for is love. You know, there is that saying that they're part of your world, but to them, you're their entire world. And when they look at you with those eyes, they all they want is love and food. And they're the most loyal. They'll die for you. And there's very few human friends will actually do that. And I can absolutely and utterly understand Christy's pain. I mean, as I say, my whole world went within. If you
and
like,
they, you know what they're like little babies. They rely on you as well, because without you, they because they're domesticated, you know, and they're not feral anymore or wild. They can't fend for themselves anymore, so they rely on us to feed them and to water them and to look after them and bring them for a walk and all those things, and to love them, as you rightly said as well.
My Millie was with me throughout my PhD, throughout the stresses of it. She had been so badly treated when I got her. Someone had tied an elastic band around her stomach, and she was 2 weeks in the vets when I found her, but she still managed to trust people. She was a little staffy.
And how old was she? How old was she?
She was 13, but okay. She had teeth. She looked like doggy dentures, Ed.
Right, okay. So she had one of those doggy smiles.
Yeah. But just she'd light up your day. But it's the guilt.
I know, because after you do it, you're thinking, did I do the right thing? Was I right to do what I did? And you know what? You were right to do what you did, Mary.
Oh,
don't ever doubt yourself.
She's riddled in cancer, but the thing is, I thought, oh, if I take her away, I won't have to bring her back. And, you know, it's just, she trusted me and she looked at me as if to say, thank you for taking me from the vet's arms. And then they just put the needle in while I was sitting in the car. And I looked, and the next minute she was gone. The heartbreak, I'll never forget. I never, ever want to go through that again. And I have two more, but I never, ever want to.
But you know, Mary, would you? Would you prefer for her to go asleep in your arms and not wake up again? Or would you prefer her to go through pain for another three or four months?
I wouldn't have wanted that. I can understand when Christy says that. It's not saying that he loved his father less. It's a different kind of a love. It's the first sentient creature that really 100% depended on him,
and it's unconditional
for his entire life.
And it is an unconditional love. And I tell you how we must know that it's unconditional, because I have seen people who treat their dogs or cats very badly, and yet those dogs and cats will rely on them and still love them.
Absolutely.
And so their love is unconditional. It really is
utterly unconditional, and it's for life. You know, with children go through stages. They leave home, they find partners, they make their own homes, and they build their own lives. A dog is with you and dependent on you for the rest of his life.
Stay there for a second, because Clinton.
Hi,
Clinton.
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
How are you doing, Clinton? You've listened to Mary there. She said their love is unconditional. She can completely understand why Christy Dignam said what he said. And you would agree?
Totally agree with her. Mm. We were married 15 years, and we got our Floyd.
Floyd?
19 years, yeah.
Okay.
After Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But he's coming up on 19 now in September.
19?
19.
Oh, he's a good age.
Yeah. We were told 2 years ago, he's in palliative care, you know.
Right, okay.
Give him what he needs. But two years later, where this year now, we can't go on any holidays this year because we were afraid to leave him anywhere with anyone.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and you know, it's just, I can see what
Christy. Do you know what, Clinton? I can hear it in your voice. Your heart is breaking even thinking about it.
Because I know it's coming closer now. I didn't really want to ring, but I just need to talk to someone about it. And my wife's in the same boat as us, you know. So.
And how is Floyd's health at the moment?
Sure. up and down now, you know.
Yeah.
Because we have a vet across the road, which is great. So he goes over there on a Monday and he gets his blood test and urine test and he comes back happy
right.
out.
Yeah.
You know, but we took him for a walk the other weekend now and, you know, they're really small walks and
yeah.
they're lifting him up and over steps and, you know what I mean?
Oh,
he's
God.
The bins on you. You talk about the bins and he's the bins on you an awful lot now. Like.
Yeah, and as you said, he's in palliative care.
He's a palliative care. We were yeah. done 2 years ago to mind him.
Yeah, and
2 years, he's still there, like, you know?
And see, this is what, I think it was Mary said earlier on, or Maura said earlier on, that we expect our parents to die. And that doesn't mean that's a bad thing, by the way,
yeah.
but we do expect them to die. I mean, because we don't live forever. It's a fact of life. But for some yeah. reason, we don't prepare ourselves for the dog dying.
Yeah.
We just don't.
I had a lab for 22 years now. And yeah. he grew up on scraps and everyone feeding him and the whole lot. And when he came to us, we kind of, you know, we knew it was time for him. You know, we didn't want to suffer. We didn't want him any suffering.
Yeah.
So if they kind of say, if the vet said to me he's suffering, I said, let's go. But when he said, when
that,
the
would,
vet said,
that would break your heart, Clinton.
I know.
I know, but it would be the right thing to do.
It would be. And I do it. I do it in the morning, you know.
I
but
think
at the same
it's,
time.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Mary.
Sorry, can I just, may I interrupt? I think it's the way they look at you as well. Unconditional love, this conditional trust, even in people who, as you say, Niall, have
treat
been
them
cruel to
yeah,
them
yeah.
and treat them badly. They seem to have this ability to forget. They seem to be all that is good about, or all that should be good about humanity. They teach us how to forgive everything that's done to them and to live in the moment and to just adore who the people we are, their entire existence.
Mary, I'm going to have to interrupt you because I have to go to a break, but please do me a favour, Mary and Clinton, stay there because I want you to finish what you're saying, Mary. It's very important that people hear what you have to say about dogs. And stay there, Clinton, please, as well. I've got to take a quick break. We either opened up a can of worms or a can of dog food, because certainly Ruth has been telling me that she has so many people want to come on, Mary and Clinton, but they can't because they feel so sad listening to not just you two, but because of their own dogs. They're terrified
yeah.
something's going to happen to them, and they're so upset on the phone to Ruth they can't even come on the air.
Oh, I know. I was crying with her there before I came on, and actually I gathered myself. I thought, I don't want to make a fool of myself now on the air, but you know, I think, as I say, it's you spend the whole of their lives with you trying to protect them, and you're afraid. If you stand on their paw by mistake, it feels like your soul has died. And then suddenly you've got to make that decision. And they look at you with I don't know what the expression of thank you, you've saved me.
Gratitude.
And suddenly you're allowing an infection to take their life. And just, I have felt because of that, I just don't know whether she was looking at me, thanking me for saving her from the vet,
mm-hmm.
or thanking me, or saying goodbye. I'm not quite sure.
I mean, I know Clinton is dreading that moment that Floyd leaves us, you know, and you know, I mean, and you know what the wonderful thing is, for a lot of people, particularly, say, people in their 20s and 30s, they grew up with the dog. You know, they'll tell you the dog came into their life when they were 4 or 5 years of age, and the dog was part of their life right up to when they start college.
Yeah.
And then sadly, the dog will usually die somewhere between kind of 14 and 20 years of age, somewhere around there. I mean, Clinton, you're very lucky to have a dog at 19 years of age.
My wife and myself went through 10 years of IVF, and Floyd was there with us all the way.
Yeah.
And then 4 years ago, we had this miracle baby. And everyone was saying, mind, be careful of the dog, mind the dog. Don't worry about the dog. Floyd is the best babysitter we ever have, you know?
He's the best babysitter you ever have.
He's the best babysitter we ever have.
Yeah.
And guaranteed, he'll watch him all the time. Now, obviously, you're obviously nervous having a dog for so long and then introducing a child.
Yeah,
but the
of
way
course,
Floyd took him was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
What do you both say to people listening? And I'm going to come to Anne in a second as well. But what do you say to people listening? Thinking, these people on the air are mad. They're only dogs, for God's sake. And people are. I mean, I could easily put somebody on, but it would be insensitive. It would be insensitive for me to put them on. But what do you say to those people who just can't understand the feeling that you have for your dog?
Well, you know, when somebody is entirely on their own, or even with a family, I mean, but in my case, when you're entirely on your own, your animals become your family. They're the first being you see every morning and the last being you see at night.
Yeah. And Shamili used to sleep in the bed beside me. Under the covers with her little paws sticking out over the covers. And she used to sleep like a human on her back.
I know.
Let me just go to Anne as well. Anne, you're an Ireland's classic kids. How you doing?
I snore.
And there was nothing X-rated about me sleeping with the dog. I want to make that 100% clear, all right? And, I mean, you have a little dog too, and you'd be heartbroken if something happened to it.
Hi, is this you now?
Yes, can you hear me now?
I thought it was another end. Now, I tell you something now. If anything happened to my little Shih Tzu, he's a very good-looking little fella. He's six, and he's better-looking than myself.
Right.
We have had dogs all our lives, four children.
Right.
And the last two, when they were older, we had two Springer Spaniels.
Right.
Fantastic dog. The best dog you could get out there as well. One was robbed and one was knocked down.
Oh, no.
Heartbroken house. And my husband, who was very good to dogs, my daughter gave him a present of a Shih Tzu for Christmas.
A Shih Tzu.
And that dog is keeping him safe.
Right.
Because he had very, his health isn't great, you know.
And what's his name? What's his name?
Well, I was telling your researcher there. The dog, the Springer, used to follow all my lads around the place, you know.
Right, right.
And he'd follow the postman. He kept the postman, might miss the house with the letter. That's how smart they were. And all the lads go down the field for have a tinny, as they used to call it that time.
Right.
And he'd come up with a chin in his mouth, as much as say, I let your mum know, no, you're down the field.
Right, okay. What, and what's the dog's name?
My dog's name is Ted Murphy.
Ted Murphy?
And we have
to see him. That's his full title, isn't it?
If something happened to him, I'm the one that has to go.
That's a good name for a dog,
it's
Ted Murphy.
He is a Ted, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Ted. You know, you have some names, we had Harry and Johnny and Paddy and something.
But you know what I've decided? Myself and my partner have decided if we ever get a dog, right, yeah, we're going to call it Padder.
That's a great name.
I think Padder, Padder B.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, this dog now is a seven, my dog.
I Padder Tobin, by the way, should be honoured because it's after him.
He knows the time to go to the door for the walk.
Yeah.
He knows the time to come in. So, he's up in the bed. He has his own bed now, and I've got
well, good.
Close to the other bed for him so that he'll be comfortable at night.
Right, well, that's great. I'm delighted to hear he has his own bed. And by the way, loads of people text in. Listen, I have to wish you luck, Clinton, with Floyd. And I hope he lives a happy and peaceful, a short bit left that he has in his life. And I'm sure you accept that. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm sure you accept that.
I know.
Yeah. And Mary, listen, sorry to hear about little Millie, all right?
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Time is a good healer, Mary. Time is a good healer. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. See you both. See you, Clinton. Bye. See you, Anne. And see you, Mary. Thanks very much indeed. God, so many people, by the way, obsessed with their dogs. And I understand it. I get it. You know, when you're feeling down and you're feeling a little bit isolated and nobody wants to talk to you, the dog comes running up to you. They're the only ones who want to speak to you. They're the only ones who want to love you. They want to give you a lick your face, as long as you give them a treat, of course. They're the only ones who want to respect you sometimes when you're in your own home. Oh, well.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.